Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
I got that real cough syrupy, like that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Like that real warm.
Yeah, like that weird, like hot, I just woke up from a nap feeling.
Yeah, I love it.
We were like weirdly hot, like your body's like super heated for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, like you can feel it. It's the weirdest fucking thing. The human body is real dumb.
God, I can't wait to die. Yeah, it's the worst.
I fucking can't wait to shed this mortal coil.
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched The Hogfather.
The Hogfather.
I guess our lead-up was appropriate.
It actually was very appropriate. Totally by accident.
Yep. That's just how we feel in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
As practice, you have to start out learning to believe the little lies.
So we can believe the big ones.
Yes. Justice, mercy, duty, that sort of thing.
They're not the same at all.
You think so? Then take the universe and grind it down to the finest powder and sieve it through the finest sieve, and then show me one atom of justice, one molecule of mercy. And yet, you try to act as if there is some ideal order in the world, as if there is some rightness in the universe by which it may be judged.
But people have got to believe that. What's the point?
You need to believe in things that aren't true. How else can they become?
This is based on a Terry Pratchett novel that's part of the Discworld series of novels. And I was texting you last night, Dave, as we were both watching this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Discworld was a computer game series.
Mm-hmm.
I know they've made computer games based on Discworld. I had no idea they were novels.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about this as a computer series or as a book series. I knew who Terry Pratchett was.
Well, yeah, I know who Terry Pratchett is, but
real quick, shout out to Andrew McGuire. Andrew mm-hmm. McGuire is the one who gave us this to watch.
He commissioned The Hogfather.
And yeah, many things.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, he was like, gotta do something for the holidays, so do The Hogfather. And now you're listening to this, probably, I don't know, we could put this out on Christmas Day, Tom, if you want.
Yeah, we could.
Or the day after Christmas Day. I don't know.
On Boxing Day.
Yeah. Is that what that's called?
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Is that British?
And it's in Canada.
Oh, ah. Okay.
Those Canucks.
Yeah, Discworld. Disc World of Discs, which mm-hmm. was made in, I think, this was written in 97. I think this movie was made in 2006.
Yes.
What did you? It's not a movie, by the way. It's a miniseries.
It's a miniseries.
It's three-episode miniseries.
Yes. Yeah. So it was a considerable undertaking.
No. Yeah, we sort of bent the rules a little bit because he asked us, Andrew McGuire asked us, like, would you do a miniseries? And I was at first like, no. And then he was like, what about this? It's like 3 hours long. And I was like, well, that's like The Irishman, so sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
we probably
so
wouldn't
out.
we wouldn't do The Stand or anything, you guys. So don't.
Yes.
Don't ask
and I
us
think
to
also,
do that. Don't
I,
ask us to do Roots.
Yes. I also looked into this and was like, "Oh, this has good reviews." So, sure. You know, if mm-hmm. this was like a big pile of trash, then I wouldn't have I would have yeah. said no. No, I Andrew.
I would have
no.
vetoed that.
Yeah. No, 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 no. No. Tom, what did you think of this?
I thought it was okay.
Okay.
It didn't totally land with me because, I mean, it's very funny.
Yes.
But it's also very meandering.
Okay, yeah. I'll say this about it while we're talking about the cons. Is mm-hmm. I did find it a little derivative. It was written in like 97 after The Nightmare Before Christmas, which mm-hmm. this is very close to. It's very Tim Burton-y. I feel like the tone is very Douglas Adams.
Yeah, and that's what I understand, that's Terry Pratchett's tone.
Yes. That said, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I quite enjoyed this.
I liked the world, and I liked the characters, and I thought it was funny. But like the movie, I thought the movie itself was too long. And
well,
like
yeah.
I had no idea why they kept cutting to Joss Ackland in the Wizards University.
I don't understand the use of the wizards.
Yeah, like it was like a lot of the. I still don't fully understand what the whole point was. It was a little confusing jumping into the middle of I was reading about this last night and discovered that I'm sure some of you guys are screaming at me. Discovered that the book series consists of 41 novels. So it's a little difficult to be thrown into the middle of something that dense.
Sure. I get what you're saying, but I actually have, I know what you're talking about with the meandering, the wizards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little, I don't know if this is the opposite of what you're saying, but my biggest criticism of this is that it felt like it could have easily been a standalone film.
Yes, you could have easily cut an hour out of this.
Yes, it didn't have to take place in Discworld, whatever Discworld is. That was my thought on this, is why not just make it Santa and Christmas? Because for people who don't know, first of all, this is on Amazon Prime,
so you
can watch it. The Hogfather is about a special night called Hogswatch, I believe.
Hogswatch, yeah. Happy Hogswatch.
Where the Hogfather comes and gives gifts to all the boys and the girls. And they say in the beginning, like, yeah, this is awfully a lot like Christmas. And from what I can tell, that's the only difference in the mythology of this world.
Right, because they still have the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah. So what happens, the plot is that the Hog's father goes missing, and Death, the personification of Death, like Death itself,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Fills in for the Hog father, and his granddaughter helps him find out what happened to the Hog father.
I'm still not 100% clear on what happened to the Hogfather.
That I'm not entirely clear. I understood most of the plan. I don't understand what happened to the Hogfather.
Yeah, I don't understand what made him disappear. And like, there are these beings called the auditors that like audit reality. And for some reason they wanted to kill the Hogfather. I guess they offer some explanation, like humans were becoming too creative or something.
Yes.
So they basically want to kill Father Christmas. So yeah.
I got the idea of what this was about. Because Death at the end talks about how the Hogfather kind of trains humans to believe in made up things, and so that when they become adults, they can believe in more important made up things, and he cites stuff like justice.
Right, and he's talking about the intangible things.
Yes. As he says, like, you know, if you ground up the universe and yeah. sifted it, you would not find one atom of justice or of
a molecule of mercy.
Yeah, yeah. And so the idea is that the creators of the universe essentially are trying to eliminate, like it's all played out like a myth, but they're trying to eliminate the stakes are if the Hogfather isn't found, the sun will not rise again. And it seems like they're trying to eliminate humans by eliminating their ability to believe in things, because that was a mistake, because, you know, it gave us some sort of, like, you could argue that's what gives us consciousness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, that expands to all the intangible things.
Right, the things that only, I get the concepts like justice and mercy and things like that only exist because people believe in them.
Right. Society is created that way.
I'm still not clear.
The Hogfather. I'm not clear of what happened to him.
Don't know what happened to him. Not clear what the auditor's plan was, really.
No.
And why the sun wouldn't rise, because the sun's not something that needs us to believe in it to rise. It just does because that's the universe.
This is where the problems go, because I assume that this is maybe something in the Discworld.
It might be.
It felt like it was a... it felt like they were talking about a myth that everybody should know about.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like I said, being thrown into the middle of it.
Yes. And so I think it would have been better if it was just Santa, because that's a myth with stakes. And when I say better, I mean, I think this is actually a really cool idea for a Christmas movie. It's similar to Nightmare Before Christmas, but not so similar that it can't, you know, the two can't also exist.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. This never at one point did this feel like a Christmas movie to me.
Well, because they don't call it fucking Christmas.
And I can't believe we've made it 10 minutes into this podcast without mentioning the fact that the Hogfather is in fact a giant boar man.
Yes. Well, it's all boar propaganda, pro-boar propaganda. I didn't want to talk about it too much because, like, that's part of why I'm like, make it Christmas, not this fucking heathen boar holiday.
This boar bullshit. What the fuck? Pushing the boar agenda on us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They've been pushing it for a while now.
You sons of fucks.
This is what
they
do. Yeah. Fucking boars.
Goddamn boars.
Yeah. So, like, I like the idea of Santa is missing. Death has to take over, because it creates for some of my favorite scenes, which is anytime death is directly doing stuff with children,
mm-hmm.
or just trying to be Santa. Because if you're wondering, death is in this version, he's death. He wears a giant robe. He is a skeleton, and he's terrifying. He's like this. He's like the ghost of what's yet to come.
Yeah. He's like a super exaggerated version of death too. Like, he's got this huge leering grin and his eyes glow.
Yeah.
He's huge.
I like when he winks later, because just one of the eyes goes out.
Yeah.
And then I love the fact that he has a granddaughter and she's so sick of his shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great concept, that death, and he's still just death.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like a straight man. Like, he's just, everything he says is very serious.
He's a straight man. He's also kind of fills the confident fool role.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's so serious, he has a tendency to say things that are extremely funny.
Yeah.
Just because he doesn't understand human emotions.
Yeah. And so that combination of him and his granddaughter, who's just sort of like, kind of eye-roll-y at him.
Yeah, she's really fed up with his nonsense. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great combination. And I assume, again, I didn't know the mythology. I didn't feel like I needed to know the mythology to understand Death's granddaughter. Because they say it. They're like, Death, he fucks. Death fucks.
No, he adopts. He adopted somebody.
Oh, whatever.
And that somebody fucked.
Okay. Well, somebody fucked.
Mm-hmm.
I guess not Death. I guess I didn't get it
at
all.
No, Death, he can't.
But they say something to explain it, and then they're like, and she sort of has, she's like, has death powers because she's Death's granddaughter, and it was like, okay, got it.
Sure.
I didn't know, was she a nanny?
She's a governess, so yeah.
Okay. She's like an evil Mary Poppins. But not really
she's
evil.
Like, no, she's goth Mary Poppins.
Goth Mary Poppins. Mary Gothins.
Yeah. Gothy Poppins.
Yeah, because it begins with the little girl being like, there's a monster in the basement. And she goes down and there's that actual monster and she just clubs the shit out of it.
Yeah.
which was fun.
I like the second monster. She shows him her skull face, and I was like, hell yeah, that's metal.
Oh, yeah. She's totes metal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's got... I mean, we all got skull faces, but she can show
that's
hers.
That's true. We are all skeletons in disguise.
Yes. We're sneaky skeletons.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this all adds up into a Christmas movie that I think could have just been a Christmas movie. Again, I know that's like, it's a weird criticism because this is like in the middle of a series of books.
A beloved series of books.
Yes, but someone could have easily taken this one story and adapted it to just a Christmas movie, I think. And
well, then it would just be Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. It would have been Nightmare Before Christmas, but I like the tone better. Like, I love Nightmare Before Christmas, don't get me wrong. But the idea of Jack Skellington only, like, more serious is fun to me. Like, the idea of someone filling in for Santa who just fundamentally doesn't understand the tone of Santa as well.
He's on his face. He's frightening.
Yeah, like, I think it's funnier. Because the bit in Nightmare Before Christmas is Jack Skellington is really merry and, like, into it. But the gifts he's giving are horrifying. Whereas in this, the gifts he's giving are good. He's horrifying.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I guess I like that dynamic better. That's funnier to me.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's not that much different.
Yeah, I don't know. It is weird that it's not just Christmas and it isn't just Santa Claus. I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't get much from Hogfather and it being pigs. Like, I don't get much from that. I don't know if it ties into Discworld in a more broad sense, or if it's like, I don't know, kind of dunk on Christianity or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't get much out of that either, to be honest. I liked...
Or it might just be silly for the sake of sillinesses. You know, for silliness's sake, rather.
For silliness's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I just enjoyed the ride. And maybe that's partially because I was on cough syrup the whole time.
Oh, sure. No, I mostly enjoyed it. It just kind of dragged on in places where it didn't really need to. There was too many scenes of, like, cutting back to Death and his helper in the sleigh. I'm like, do we really need to cut back to the same scene five times?
Mm-hmm. I would have cut all the... Again, I liked some of the ideas, but, yeah, it does feel meandering.
Yeah, we didn't need to keep cutting back to the thieves in the Tooth Fairy's tower. Like, with each incremental advancement in their plan, it's like, you know, we don't need to keep checking in on these guys every time the wizard breaks a new lock. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it felt like it definitely didn't need to be 3 hours long.
Yeah, it could have just been a movie.
It could have just been a movie, yeah.
Of the same story. They could have easily adapted this into a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. It's like a BBC miniseries, though, because it's all British, right?
Yes, yeah.
This was pretty British.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's British as fuck, man. It opens
it's
with
British
David
as
Warner.
Fuck. Yeah, it does. They really flaunt him, but he's only in that one scene.
Yeah, he's only in the one scene.
He's like the Assassin's Guild.
He's the head of the Assassin's Guild, yeah.
This was the stuff that felt very Discworld that I was just like, I accepted after a while, which is that it's clearly a magical land. And it felt like they had a couple narrations because some producer was like, just in case people don't know Discworld, explain that there's like a wizard's guild and stuff.
If you didn't have that narration in the beginning, man, it would be tough. This would be a tough sell.
So it starts with the idea that there's a group of assassins and the, what are they called again?
The auditors?
The auditors. Thank you. Visit the assassins and pay them money to assassinate their Santa Claus. And then those assassins call Tea Time.
Mr. Tea Time, yeah.
Mr. Tea Time.
Tea Timmy
he keeps telling everybody his name is pronounced. And
yeah,
I loved him.
Yeah, he was excellent.
That actor, I looked him up. He hasn't been, he's been in stuff. Like he's been around, but nothing as like, not iconic as like outlandish as this. And he's like magic?
Kinda.
Yeah. That's the stuff that I was like chopped up to Discworld where I was like, oh, he teleports.
Yeah, he clearly can like, I don't know. I don't know if he's actually magic or if that's just done for the sake of him being creepy.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like if that's just like a thematic choice.
But he uses that magic, I feel like, to, like he tries to.
Oh, when he tries to kill Death in the end. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
he does sort of teleport behind him.
He uses his Nightcrawler power. Like, I think the idea is that he teleports.
Yeah.
Again, this felt like the stuff where I was like, oh, this is probably the Discworld.
Yeah, I just sort of accepted it. Like, the Susan, Death's granddaughter, can stop time.
Right. So can Death.
So can Death, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know, that's fine. People have powers.
Yeah, I mean, once you, like, I don't tend to split hairs about that. Once you just tell me, like, okay, we're in a magical world and there's magic, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, people just have powers, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, especially then when we're in the middle of it like this.
Yeah, I'm not gonna, like, break my brain trying to figure out the logistics of that. I was like, oh, there, yeah, okay, he can move real fast. Got it.
Right. Did you watch Good Omens?
No.
Oh, okay. Because Terry Pratchett co-wrote that, I believe.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Having watched Good Omens, I think I see what... I see what this... Because Good Omens, you could argue, is a plot that also could have been done as a 2-hour movie. But when you watch the Amazon version, you're like, no, there's so much here. I'm wondering if this could have either been shortened into a movie or stretched into a miniseries, depending on the book.
A limited series, you mean?
Yeah, a limited series, sorry.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the problem, because having watched Good Omens, I get some of the... like, there's a similar romance in Good Omens as there are in this, which is of course the Tooth Fairy and the Hangover God. And sorry, not the Tooth Fairy, a Tooth Fairy.
Yeah,
the idea of kind of having these like random characters find each other and find a romance, like, I don't know, that it had like, it, this makes me want to read the book more.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Tooth Fairy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, Tea Time's plan. So the idea is Tea Time is he's tasked with assassinating...
He has to murder Father Christmas.
Right.
And they plant the seed right away it's rumored that has figured out a way to kill Death.
Yeah, I liked that about him, where he's like, I have figured out ways to kill everybody, like,
yeah,
including Death.
Including Death.
Yeah.
His plan is actually kind of, his plan is a cool idea.
Yeah, I like it too.
Because at first you're like, what the hell is he doing? But then it becomes clear. They establish that there's a very old kind of magic where if you have a piece of somebody, like a tooth or a fingernail or a piece of hair, like a hair clipping, you can control them or you can influence them. So his method of killing the Hogfather is he breaks into the Tooth Fairy's tower, gets all the teeth of all the children in the world, and has this like bootleg wizard cast a spell on it to make them all stop believing in the Hogfather.
Yeah. And of course, if you stop believing, he'll die.
Yes.
I don't understand what happened to him in the first place.
In the first place. He's already gone before this happens.
Right, because they show that Death, like, goes to...
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering...
He goes to the Hogfather's Bone Palace.
Yes, as the Hogfather would have.
Yep.
It was a pretty great bone palace.
All his victims.
Yep. I'm wondering now, is this movie, or, yeah, is it told, like, out of sequence? Like, is the idea that that's Tea Time's Tooth Fairy thing is what happens? Like, is that a flashback?
I don't think so.
Okay, someone tell us what the hell happened to the Hogfather.
Yeah.
Because that's the only part that I'm like, I don't quite understand. Because at the end, they're flying through the air, and they're like, there he is, and it's a pig.
He's a giant boar running from dogs.
Yeah, and they say something like, this is the origin of him. If the dogs get him, he will never be. And it's like, wait, so you're... I get, like, they skip through time a bunch. Which is why I'm wondering if, like, death... That's why I'm wondering if when he went to his bone palace, it was like he wasn't there and then he went back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. But the plan's great. The Tooth Fairy plan is great. I don't know why they were breaking into the Tooth Fairy. Her bedroom attic.
I don't know.
Okay.
I guess he wanted to kill the Tooth Fairy as well.
I don't know.
But it's unclear why.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, where they keep going back to breaking into the door. And I think the idea... Again, it reminds me of Good Omens, where in Good Omens, which you haven't watched, there's a lot of characters that aren't connected at first, that you're just sort of following. And then at the very end, it all kind of ties together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very much like Guy Ritchie. It's a lot of things. It's a bunch of characters, and they all sort of meet each other near the end. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's what they were trying to do with the Hogfather, which is that when they wanted us to care about those robbers and their well-being, because one of them ends up being good.
Yeah.
The big guy with the puppy.
Banjo.
Yeah. Great name.
He's like, Mom says you can't hit girls.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, when they have to, like, abduct one of the Tooth Fairies, he's, like, super uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
And then when Tea Time tells him to grab Susan at the end, he's like, nope, Mom says you can't hit girls.
Yeah. And then he essentially becomes the new Tooth Fairy.
The new Tooth Fairy,
because we learn that the Tooth Fairy was the original boogeyman?
Apparently.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I like the world. I like the tone. It's very charming, but there's a lot of stuff in this movie that I was just like, okay. I don't understand this at all.
Like, see, I enjoyed the ride, but again, cough syrup.
Sure.
I recognized it wasn't necessary, but I liked the wizard stuff because of the idea. Because they have this computer that knows everything. Again, very Douglas Adams. And it is talking about the fact that there's a finite amount of belief in the world. And the side effect, this is the problem with the wizards, is they never come into play. They never factor into the larger story.
No, they sure don't.
Which is why I was like, you can completely cut them out and the story would be the same. And that's a problem. That's a big problem. They're kind of like the chorus, I guess. They're just sort of witnessing things happen. I guess they get some information from them. But the idea is there's a finite amount of belief in the world. And so when the Hogfather stops getting believed in, other creatures start, like, that extra belief starts creating other creatures, which I thought was cute. But that's why I also like the idea that the Tooth Fairy was the original boogeyman. Because, again, finite amount of belief. So when, like, a mythical creature stops doing its job, it has to find a new job and a new thing to do.
Okay. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The boogeyman stops being the boogeyman, and then he's like, well, I got to do something. I guess I'll be a Tooth Fairy. Guess I'll be a weird pervert that collects teeth, you know?
Yeah.
Tooth Fairy's fucked up.
That's a weird, that's just pure fetish.
Don't let anybody pay you for your teeth.
The Tooth Fairy is a fetishist.
Mm-hmm. Don't trust it.
Mm-mm.
Someone calls himself the Tooth Fairy. Someone breaks into your house and says, I'm the Tooth Fairy.
Collects your face bones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's bad news. You don't want any of that. No, thank you.
Mm-mm. Nope.
No.
I think what else there is to say about this movie.
I feel like we haven't talked enough about Tea Time. His voice could have been played by Crispin Glover.
He was very Crispin Glover, yeah.
Yeah, he has one jet black eye,
mm-hmm.
and one like
eye with no pigment in it.
Yeah,
it looks
like an owl, like a husky eye.
Mm-hmm.
So right away, he's just, I don't know, he's all messed up. He's got curly blonde hair,
mm-hmm.
and he's got like a Vader cloak.
It's like a pea coat.
Yeah, and he's a terrific sociopath.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, because
he's a very fun villain.
Yeah, he's kind of an edgelord, but he talks a lot like a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that.
And that's also what and one element of the plot is the Tooth Fairy's tower starts defending itself by using, and this makes sense because we find out the Boogeyman has been working as the Tooth Fairy. But its defense is to kind of go all Pennywise on the robbers and like turn into what they're afraid of.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Why did I miss that?
I don't know, because it's a huge thing. The one guy gets eaten by the wardrobe he was scared of as a kid.
Oh yeah, that's what happened to him.
The two brothers, their mom shows up, and one of them disappears.
Right. Right.
The scissors man gets the bootleg busted ass wizard. But nothing comes after tea time because he said, "Oh, I'm still in touch with my inner child." Like he's so childlike that it doesn't work on him apparently.
Right. He keeps saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like he's a disturbing child. He's the good son.
Yeah.
He's the good son. And he just like I forget how he phrases it with people of just not being useful anymore to him or whatever. He's mm-hmm. he's like, he's also unpredictable, which I liked, is that he kills some people, but other people he lets go.
Yeah.
He's got that No Country for Old Men, a Sugar.
Yeah. He's Anton got like, Sugar.
Yeah. Where you never feel easy around him. He looks kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't necessarily like killing. He just can kill. That's the impression I got. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I think he does enjoy it. Like he's obsessed with it. But like
he's obsessed with it. That's a good way of putting it.
He doesn't like. Yeah, like you said, he's kind of unpredictable. Like you never really know when he's gonna kill somebody.
It's weird because he's working for the Assassin's Guild, and it's weird mm-hmm. to think of him having any sort of boss.
yeah.
Like, working for anybody. But the first conversation they have, they're like, they tell him that his last assassination was, like, inelegant.
Oh, that was pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah, where they say, like, he's like, I checked to see if he was breathing right. with a mirror.
Yeah, I checked his breath on the glass, like you suggested, and David Warner's like, his head was 3 feet away from his body at that point.
Yeah, he really stole the show.
Yeah, he was like, the best part, probably. Him and Death.
Yeah, Death, like, I kept wanting him to meet Death. I was excited for that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And what does he say to Death? What's the first... Death had a good line. He says something like, something about the last minute.
Oh.
It's Death basically saying, he says something about the last minute to Death, and Death stands up and goes, "I am the last minute."
Oh, she says, "In case you try any last minute heroics." So yeah, Death says, yeah. "I am the last minute."
That was a great Death line. Because again, he's a straight man. Like, he doesn't quite understand, "Oh, I fucking loved it when he gave her a Christmas card or the Hogs Watch
right,
card."
Right, the Hogs Watch card is like, there was a Robin on the front.
Yeah, because it's just like a terrifying card with, like, scrawled writing on it, "Happy Hogs Watch," and like a single red feather.
Yeah.
And then he's like, there was snow on it, but it melted. And yeah, there was a Robin on it.
There was a Robin on the front. It was, it proved to be, uncooperative.
Yeah. It didn't get the holiday spirit.
Yeah.
And then the part where, of course, he has all the kids sit on his lap.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the store manager, like, he doesn't understand. He's not supposed to give the merchandise away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was delightful. See, there's, like, delightful little deviations. But, again, I get what you're saying. I think it needed to go one way or the other. Because, honestly, I could watch a whole TV show following the adventures of Death as he tries to do good in the world.
Yeah.
I could watch Death for days. He was terrific. But it didn't quite, in terms of telling one, like, solid story, it did feel like there were a bunch of chunks that were hanging off.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Like the freaking, his helper guy, who's like trying to smoke the whole time.
Yeah.
He was fine, but I didn't know who he was and what his purpose was.
Yeah.
He's just
either,
like, Death's friend.
Yeah, Death's like assistant.
Mhm.
I don't know.
And then Death goes back in time. What's the ending? Cuz he tells a story about how he sees a horse in a window as a kid.
Yeah. And then Death goes back in time and buys the horse.
Does he buy it for him? I was unclear on that.
I don't know.
I thought it was like he's buying it to just, like, Death was the one who bought, because he says the horse was sold, and that it made him who he was or something like that. Is the idea that that's an infinite time loop of Death causing that to ensure that he is the person he is, or is Death?
Well, I don't. It's unclear because it ends right after that, so we don't know if he's gonna then give the horse to, I think his name is Albert, as an adult, because he doesn't get it as a kid.
No, he doesn't, unless he's breaking the time line and going to give him, because he refers to the kid outside.
Yeah,
but he doesn't say it's for him.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I feel like. I think it comes down to this. I think this book is really good. I think this adaptation had problems.
Yeah, probably.
Because, like, there's a lot here, and it's very charming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
But I think the adaptation from book to screenplay, or teleplay, had problems. But I really liked everybody in it.
Oh yeah, everybody's great.
Yeah, I would love to see another adaptation of it that's a little more clear now that they did.
Yeah, yeah. A little more. Yeah, I just needed it could definitely be tightened up, and it definitely needed to be a little more clear in some spots, particularly for people like us who know nothing of Discworld and are just wandering into this. Right.
It's called Discworld because it's a world that's a disc. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a disc a being back. Carried by four elephants on a turtle's back.
Okay. That's weird.
It is weird, but I think that's the point.
Yeah. It didn't matter.
No, it didn't matter.
It was sort of like, yeah. Again, it could have just been a Christmas story. I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been, but then why adapt this story? If you're gonna change it to not be Discworld.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's enough there to I know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It feels the weirdest thing about it is that the Discworld stuff. like the stuff, and I know, again, fans of Discworld, like, I'm trying to think of a good comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it just it's like the movie, I don't know, Halloween, but you made up the holiday. But it's all the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, this seems like it could have just been a Christmas movie. But you made up a holiday. I don't know, man.
I don't know why you would do that. It's
cough
just
syrup helped.
Cough syrup, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Terry Pratchett was on lots of cough syrup.
Yeah. Have you tried drinking a bunch of cough syrup before watching this, Tom?
I have not. No, I've not tried that.
It's pretty delightful.
Well, maybe I'll look into it.
Yeah, it got me in the Christmas spirit.
It really enhanced my viewing.
You do like some Tussin, some night, not well, a splash of NyQuil, I guess. Daytime Tussin, a splash of NyQuil, and eggnog. And then what you want to do is you want to get some cinnamon on the top and some whipped cream.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Okay. Okay. And you melt that all down in a microwave.
Mm-hmm.
And you pour it on a piece of turkey.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you cook the turkey at I don't know, 300 degrees for like only 5 minutes. You don't need it long.
Oh, okay, good. So you're tossing in like some solid like salmonella and shit in there.
Yeah, that'll help with the Christmas spirit.
Cram some raw turkey meat into your stomach along with gallons of cough syrup and whipped cream and eggnog.
Well, you take all that out and you put it in a blender. You
I like
blend
where this
it
is going, yeah.
With some ice.
Yeah, well, you gotta have it needs the ice to have like a binding agent.
Yeah, exactly. Some ice, maybe some yogurt, a little bit of kale for your health.
Kale's a superfood.
Exactly. And then you add some ground beef. Don't blend the ground beef. Let it chunk.
Just
let it be
stir the chunks in. Yeah, it's a nice surprise that you can chew while you're... It's a drink you can chew, and honestly, I really enjoy those.
Yeah. And then you drink it. That's the Christmas spirit right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. That's what Santa drinks.
Yeah. He's got a whole belly full of that sloshing around as he crams his ass down chimneys.
It's true. That's That's what the milk is for
just sweating. Yeah. Sweating so hard.
Just chugging the milk like, Santa.
Get it in there.
I love milk. It's just covered in fucking ash from your fireplace. The dirty beard. Just crawling around your house.
Mm-hmm.
Being real
wheezing.
Quiet.
Wheezing.
Yeah, just wheezing. Like,
just having real difficulty breathing after chugging gallons of blend of pureed meat.
Yep. And milk. All the
and
warm
cough,
milk
and
that
cough
you've
syrup.
Left out.
Yep, he's hallucinating. He's drinking that warm-ass milk.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the real... See, that's the thing. We talk about whether or not we believe in Santa. We're actually all hallucinations and just a guy named Santa who thinks he's giving us all the gifts. We're the ones that aren't real. We're his meat fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what...
How about
that's,
that?
Yeah,
how about that for a thought experiment?
Yeah. Did I just blow your mind?
Merry Christmas, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
You're not real. You're in Santa's brain.
Oh, I feel like we're done. Oh, man.
I think we might be done.
Oh, guys, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Thanks to, what was Andrew McGuire?
Andrew McGuire, yeah.
Andrew McGuire. Mm-hmm. I hope you got everything you wanted out of this. And
I hope
then
so,
some.
Yeah.
Guys, we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Along with being able to request, demand your own We Just Watched episode. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac that you can check out. There's all such There's all kinds of stuff. Cough syrup.
Delicious milk drinks.
Milk drinks.
Meat shakes.
Meat shakes. These are all things.
The meat shake both describes the drink and what happens when Santa shudders to the floor in front of your fireplace.
Yes.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get t-shirts, stickers, mugs, posters, whatever you want. I feel like we might have to add a t-shirt at some point of just Santa passed out, struggling to breathe, milk and meat just caked in his beard. And he's like,
Yeah. Milk and meat, just chunks of chunks of white and brown, just sort of leaking out of his mouth.
Just holiday cheer.
Holiday cheer just oozing out of Santa's mouth as he just fucking dies on your floor. Little girl and boy wakes up in the morning to find a dead Santa.
Dead Santa.
His stomach ruptured with meat and milk and cough syrup.
His face frozen in a hideous rictus grin.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
All right, everyone. I think that's a sode.
Yeah, we could talk about Santa, some more dead Santa.
No, I think we covered it.
Okay, fine.
I think we kind of bury him with his reindeer, like the pharaohs of old.
Oh yeah, just in a box with a bunch of reindeer just kicking, eating his body.
Put him in a shipping container with live reindeer and push that into the ocean.
Yep. Yeah.
Give Santa burial at sea.